Around this time each Friday, we catch up with Nicola Tookie, who is the Threatened Species Ambassador for the Department of Conservation, and she introduces us to a different species each week. And she joins me now in the Wellington studio. Hello, this is exciting.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I like it here.
What brings you to the capital city?
I have been here all week, actually. I've had the privilege of interviewing scientists for these new science roles that we've advertised for in the Department of Conservation. So have to say, it's been a real ram raid, because we had so many clever, talented, intelligent, amazing people. We interviewed more than a dozen, and if it were up to me, I would have employed all of them.
Is this new money?
This is money that came through the budget last year,
yeah. And
it's going to set us up for particularly for the next 4 years. But the calibre and the quality of the scientists that we were interviewing was such that, you know, it just felt like a real honour, A, to see their work, because we asked them to do little presentations
right. About
their research, and B, to be part of the team that kind of creates a new legacy for science
in
the Department of Conservation and New Zealand for threatened species science. And we were particularly looking at all the things we don't know about yet. How do we look after them? So I've had quite a tiring week. On one of the days we did 6 interviews in one day. But I said to my boss afterwards, you know what? It just felt like I was in a really, really fascinating conference.
Yeah. You obviously need to get used to wielding power, Nicola. The more interviews, the better. You just sit back there in your throne and say, you shall have the job. You shall have the job.
Yeah, there was a moment, you know, I really wanted to be like Oprah, like, everyone gets a job.
Yeah, or like Dragon's Den, like, I'm out.
I didn't have a single one like that. And, you know, we've all been through interviews. I felt for them, so I wanted to be, you know, kind of kind and really, really help them bring their best game. So, and they did.
I've got an email to share with you this week. It comes from Tanya. Hi, Jesse. I have a wonderful daughter, Briar, about to turn 9, and her true colours have really started to shine through over the 9th year of her life. She is totally into little critters. Started with bunnies when she was 6, but from there, she's now gone to the really small stuff. She's doing a school project on the peripatus. She chose that. She's now that really annoying child in class correcting her teacher with animal classifications and exceptions and facts. She's at George Street Normal School in Dunedin. And anyway, Tanya is getting in touch because for the past few years, their family has donated to local charities instead of getting presents. And her daughter asked her how she could donate to Critter of the Week. She says her general theme for her birthday is focused around small animals, jeweled geckos and frogs, and so she thought she'd ask us what would be the best way for her to give some money to the sort of causes that we talk about each Friday afternoon.
Wow. Oh, Briar, it sounds like just a lovely, delightful child. Maybe I should have interviewed her this
week.
Yeah,
one day. Remember
one day.
The name, Briar Henwood.
Briar Henwood, you're my kind of girl. So given that you're lucky enough to live in that beautiful city of Dunedin, and given that we still think there probably are a few jewel geckos in particular around, I think what I'd be looking at is something like the Predator Free Dunedin Project or Save the Otago Peninsula Project, who have spent the last several years eradicating, or they're attempting to eradicate, every last possum from the Otago Peninsula, and they're doing a really great job, and that's really important for habitat for things like geckos. But they'll also be, I know they're taking out a lot of rats as well, and the other thing I would advise, even though you are 9, is join the New Zealand Herpetological Society. Because they have really, really interesting newsletters about what's going on with geckos and lizards around the country, and there are people who have them in captivity with their wildlife permits. And, you know, I joined it recently, and I find it really fascinating keeping up with all the pieces of work in science and research going on, and even just people who just love geckos. So that would be my advice. Maybe for your birthday, your parents might like to join you up. I think it's like $20 or something.
Cool.
Like that.
And yeah. Actually there'll be people listening who will be thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind being a member of the old New Zealand Herpetological Society. That sounds quite good.
It's really good. Really neat people. Really, really, really into their reptiles as well. They should be, because I think we're actually the land of lizards.
Thank you, Nicola. And I'll pass that on to Tanya. You can always email us, jesse@radionz.co.nz. I'm very excited about this week's Critter of the Week.
I thought you would be.
It's a long-legged harvestman.
It is indeed.
An arachnid, right?
An arachnid, but not a spider. So this is probably going to send some of the listeners screaming for the hills, but maybe maybe not all of them. So the long-legged harvestman is a member of the overarching arachnid group, but it isn't a spider because it doesn't have any silk glands.
Uh-huh.
And also it doesn't have any stinging ability and no venom. So although they look somewhat terrifying, and I highly recommend you all to immediately get out your phone and have a look or on your computer on the Radio New Zealand website, and although they can be rather large, the large native males have a leg span of up to 16 centimetres. So that's a hand span.
Yeah. It's been described as the alien from War of the Worlds.
It kind of looks like that. It looks absolutely terrifying. And also, you know, there's always that, like, in Harry Potter and also, I think, Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, there was always a spider that was coming out of somewhere to eat everyone alive. Mm. Kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
But they're not really like that. But they do. So what makes them a wee bit scary, apart from the enormous leg span for some of them, is that the long-legged harvestmen particularly. So to go back a little bit, there's three groups of harvestmen that are all found in New Zealand and only found here. And there's some that are like half a 5 millimetres, half a centimetre long, look like a wee mite, and they're all blind. So, you know, if you ran away, it'd be fine because they wouldn't be able to find you. Then there's the short-legged harvestmen, and they've been described here as the slow-moving battle tank of the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the long-legged harvestmen, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So they're faster moving, and they have these enormous crane-like sort of folded-up jaws that sit on the front of them. With little claws on the end, like a crayfish claw. And they look absolutely terrifying. And when they extend those, you know, you really would think you were being attacked by the alien from War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
They're really difficult to see. We have about 14 species of them, and they are found from sea level right up into the alpine zone. They come out at night, so you're unlikely to blunder into one if you're sitting at home rocking in a corner right now. And here's a cool fact. They can detach their legs, and then the legs twitch on after because the pacemakers, the little electrical machines that we have in our bodies, are attached at the end of the first long segment. And we think part of that is for like a predator avoidance response, maybe a little bit like geckos losing their tails, for example. So if something comes across them, they can just sort of plonk off a leg and it twitches in a corner. it's a complete tangent. Someone was telling me this week, you know, because I've been sitting in a room with geeks, basically, in terms of being on the panel for these interviews, and we were talking about all the beheadings in the Place de Concorde. Recently I was in Paris, I went past the Place de Concorde, and there were 2,600 beheadings in the space of less than 2 years in France at the time. And there was some science done when they were doing the beheadings, which is they were trying to determine whether once your head got cut off, you could still hear, you know, you could still sense the world around you. And they had a psychiatrist, sort of, you know, some kind of terrible ethics scientist. And when they had their heads cut off, he would say, "Blink if you could hear me." And they would blink for up to another few minutes. So who knew? It's really easy.
This is a really special edition of Critter of the Week.
It's kind of a macabre tangent, but I was fascinated by the mechanics of that.
Yeah. Now, while I remember, I want to do a quick shout out to, have you ever come across Dr. Christina Painting?
Yes, Chrissy Painting.
Yeah. So I had a chat with her a couple of years ago about harvestmen on the show. So if you really love the sound of these things, she was doing some research into the arms race, basically the weapons arsenal of various invertebrates in New Zealand. We talked for about 20 minutes about harvestmen, and she had some great photos too. So there's further reading on the RNZ website if you're keen.
She's a real gifted science communicator too. She did some neat work on giraffe weevils too. And I guess the arms race is really interesting, isn't it? Because the longer your cranky, the crane giant jaws grow, the harder it is for you to get around. So it might make you more attractive to other harvestmen females, but actually you might sort of lean forward and tip over. So if we talk about the difference between males and females, they're so different. The girls and the boys, harvestmen are so, or women, if you will, are so different that up until the 1950s, we thought that the females were different species from the males, which I think is really cool as well. And I also like when females look cooler than males. And so in this instance, the females are brown with racing stripes, which I think is pretty cool. Obviously, that makes her go faster. Because that's science.
Yeah. That's what I told my daughter, actually, when we bought her a bike, that the red one goes faster. And it was really, really sweet how naively and genuinely that information was received. And she's so proud riding her red bike around.
I still look at cars based on that. So, you know.
There's an interesting thing with the scent of a harvestman, right?
Yeah, that's right. I quite like this because anything gross is fascinating. Mm. So they obviously don't sting and they don't bite, but they do have a prosomatic defensive scent glands where they secrete a revolting smelling or a peculiar smelling fluid when they're disturbed, and that creates a horrible taste. So it's basically to put potential predators off. And so if you've handled a harvestman, you'll notice that quite a stinky, lasting, terrible smell on your fingers. But apart from smell, they're pretty harmless. I was going to make a great joke then about their detachable legs and how that makes them armless. See what I did? No?
Completely armless. Do they not bite? What's the point in these big jaws if they're not going to bite with them?
So they're using those to catch little things in the forest. They're not going to bite people with them. And if you have a look at the close-up of those big, giant chelicerae, they probably don't have a very large, reach in terms of ability to pick things up. What I think also is really interesting about them, though, is the way that they eat, because unlike other arachnids, unlike spiders, they don't have a pumping stomach that liquefies all the tissue of their prey, and so they have to eat tiny, tiny, tiny little small particles. Right, so they've got to chop up their things. They're very dainty eaters, despite their somewhat fearsome appearance.
Oh, these are. How's it taken so long to get to the long-legged harvestman? This is one of my favourites ever.
I know. I was also fascinated by things like in terms of their reproduction. Male harvestmen have a penis, which is interesting because most arachnids do not have them, so not quite sure what's going on there. And females have an ovipositor, and we've talked about that with regard to things like wetter, and so that's where they basically just have like a little tube that they poke into the soil or the leaf litter and safely deposit their eggs. But harvestmen are so cool that some species, the female actually stays with the eggs and looks after them until they hatch, so almost like some of our birds.
And they are not spiders, but yet they eat spiders.
Yes, they can eat spiders. So they like things like springtails, beetles, spiders, and they also really like glowworms, which I think is kind of interesting as well. It'd be easy to find your prey, wouldn't it? It'd be like having a big neon light above it and come and get me.
Bad strategy, glowworm. All right, hey, give us a rating then. How would you rate the physical attractiveness of the long-legged harvestman on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, look, from terror rating alone, I'm going to give it an 8 on the basis if you saw a photo of one and imagined it was 6 foot across, not 16 centimetres. Yeah. You've got to give it cool points for that. I don't think Weta are here in Wellington this week. I don't think Weta Workshop could design something that cool.
Perfect. That's the critter of the week for today, the long-legged harvestman. Lots of photos on the website. And as I said, further reading there too if you're interested. Nicola Tookie, enjoy the rest of your time in Wellington, and nice to chat to you as always.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a good weekend.